This is the GAMAC Hotline for April 6th, 2006. Special interview edition with Major Nelson.
Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love.
GAMAC Hotline.
Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser.
Welcome to the GAMAC Hotline. Please turn your video games down and this podcast up for all the latest in video game news, video game releases, and today, a video game interview. My name is Luke. So glad you could be here. Well, I got an opportunity to speak with Major Nelson, one of the big wigs over at the Microsoft area. He does his own podcast, one of the most popular video game podcasts in the world. So let's go ahead and let's get into that right now. I'm here with Major Nelson. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what is your your title here at the Microsoft Studios?
So I actually on the Xbox team, my title is the Director of Programming.
Okay.
And that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But one of the facets of my job is I get to talk continuously with the community and provide a dialogue with the community. So that's really one of the things that that's one of my favorite parts of my job.
Okay. Well, my first question I always ask to people is, what is your favorite video game at this time?
It's the one that's in my tray. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, it's of all time, that's a tough question. But what I'm playing right now is Oblivion.
Yeah.
And I talked about this on my show last week. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful game. It's a fantastic role-playing game. It's such an immersive environment. It's just, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, and it's a lot of fun.
Have you been able to finish the second quest yet?
I have not. I am probably about halfway through it.
Okay.
So, basically, from what I think I am.
So, what changes did the Xbox Live team add with the release of the Xbox 360?
Well, so when you say the Xbox Live team, meaning the service,
right?
We made a lot of changes in the back end, the servers that users would never know. I mean, let's be clear. We run one service, the service that the original Xboxes connect to, and then the services that the Xbox 360s connect to. Mm-hmm. And we had to really redo our infrastructure to handle the scalability of where we're going to be going next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road. So it's really a lot of different things that we've done, but really done a lot of optimization because we have an online service since late 2001. 2002, since we've been working on it. So we've really, which is a long time ago, so we've really gone through iterations and iterations and iterations. I believe we're almost in our fifth generation right now.
Of the 360
of the live service.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty amazing. I mean, there's other console manufacturers out there that are talking about going online and doing what, and they've got PowerPoints on a slide, but we're actually, you know, we're now almost in our fifth revision of the service.
Okay. And one of those things I see on the service is a thing called gamer scores.
Yep.
What are those?
The gamer score is a way that we developed at Xbox on the live team to show off how far you've completed a game. There's actually two parts of it. There's the gamer score, and then there's the achievements. Mm-hmm. So each game can have each Xbox 360 game can have up to 50 achievements. Unless, of course, you're an arcade game. And then they can also have up to 1,000 gamer score. So really, you can look at someone's gamer score, and if they've only played one game but they have 1,000, you know they've completed that game.
Right.
If they've got, like, 15 games and they only have, like, 500 gamer score, you know they really haven't gone very deep on the games.
Okay.
So it's a couple of different ways for us to give the Xbox Live members. And you can get access to this whether you're a Silver member, which is a free member of service that we have on Xbox Live, or a Gold member. We provide that for free.
Okay. So is this mostly done for marketing purposes or just for people to understand what they
It's for the gamers. It's for to help them understand at a quick glance when I look at your gamer card, which is a way that you can display yourself. It's kind of like a little postage stamp of who you are and what you're all about. It's a quick glance so that I can figure out who you are and what kind of games you like to play and how, frankly, how serious you are about gaming.
Okay. And on those little postage stamp worth of gamer with their usernames, there's an avatar of their picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard from some people that they talked about that you have to purchase it through the marketplace, of the avatars.
Sure. Some of the avatars are, first of all, if you buy an Xbox 360 that comes with a hard drive, there mm-hmm. are some on there. Some of the games provide them as unlockables as you complete various portions of the game. And then there's an additional set which is purchased for download from Marketplace.
I've heard some rumors that there's going to be, with the Xbox Live camera that's going to be coming out, that people could make their own avatars.
That's an interesting rumor, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But I'm wondering, is that going to be something people you're thinking about doing, is custom avatars for
sure,
people?
It presents a lot of problems when you have custom avatars. You know, just first and foremost is the profanity. How do you deal with that? So our team is looking – we've got a couple of solutions that we're looking at. I don't have anything to announce right now, but I think people will be happy with our solution.
Okay. Well, cool. So one of the things that you do also is you're part of the Xbox forums.
Yep.
Why did Microsoft start the Xbox forums?
We realized that we needed a way to communicate with our customers. The Xbox forums really grew out of a team that was there before I joined the team. And they realized they wanted to provide a way for gamers to connect with each other. And then they went with the launch of Xbox 360 and the new Xbox.com. We use that opportunity to redo the forms and reship them. So now when you go there, when you post, you have your gamer card right there. It's all seamless because there's a lot of pieces on the web that are on the console and vice versa. So it was really just an obvious decision that we wanted to we really wanted to be able to communicate with our customers. And that's something we pride ourselves on at Microsoft, is we're constantly communicating with our customers and having a dialogue with them and listening to what they're saying.
So do you think a lot of developers for the games, such as EA and Ubisoft and Microsoft, are looking at those?
Oh, absolutely. When game publishers are always in our forums looking at what people are saying, and some of them will ask me, hey, can we post in the forum? And I'll make them, you know, they have a special designator so that people know they're a developer or a publisher. So I'll absolutely do that, but I know they're watching our forums.
Okay. Well, one of the things I saw that's really interesting about the Xbox 360 is the Xbox Arcade.
Yep.
And one of the things I found interesting was, I know that during January until March, there were no Xbox 360 games that were released. Mm-hmm. But yet there were tons of games on the marketplace that were released. Do you think that the marketplace probably helped Microsoft in getting people, keeping people's interest in the Xbox 360?
Oh, sure. I mean, there were continuously releases of Xbox Live Arcade titles, which are very easy titles to play. They're very approachable. And it absolutely helps. It's another part of the value chain of what is the Xbox 360. You've got Marketplace, but under it you've got the Xbox Live Arcade. And one of the most popular titles on the Xbox 360 is Geometry Wars, which is purchasable and downloadable from the Xbox Live Arcade. So absolutely.
So do you think that with more and more games being bought onto the arcade, that you'll be having maybe an idea that might become bloated with many games that...
Hopefully not. I mean, you'd have to ask gamers that. I think if you were to ask a gamer, they'd say there's no such thing as too much content.
Right.
It's just a matter of us making sure that we provide a good way to navigate that content.
Okay, so it's more of a navigational idea.
Sure, sure.
Do you think that the arcade is now showing some developers some ideas about how to make games?
Oh, absolutely. The beautiful part about the Xbox Live Arcade is that there's a lot of pieces that are not involved. In terms of the distribution, printing a manual, creating DVDs or CDs and packaging and so forth. And this allows smaller software developers to really dip their toe in the water and experiment. And that's what we're really excited about. I've seen some of the titles that are going to be coming out, and I'm very excited about the Xbox Live Arcade and what it's going to be able to do.
How much is is it going to be coming cheap enough for developing for the Xbox Arcade that maybe even really smaller ones, like maybe students can start making
games? Sure, anything's possible. We made some announcements a couple weeks ago at the Game Developers Conference in San Jose, where you're going to be developing for the Xbox 360 in a PC environment, and your game can actually be ported and go in either way. Right. And in this case, port is not a dirty word. It's a seamless experience in terms of it delivers on the richness of the Xbox 360 as well as the richness of the PC.
Yeah, that's one of the things I saw at GDC that was very interesting, was the XNA framework,
sure,
which lets you do that.
Which is downloadable at Microsoft.com/XNA. You can download it right now.
Is it free?
It's free.
Well, that was one of the things that always interested me, because I thought as developers, this would be something that they would already have been streamlined or
sure,
an idea.
But it's not.
I found that very strange. Why do you think that these things, other than the PC, because I know that the porting from PC to Xbox would be a very difficult challenge, but you guys have fixed that. But
sure.
Why there isn't any sort of way to streamline.
I haven't worked in a game studio, so you'd have to ask a game studio developer that. But it's just that they're all homegrown. And let's be real, the game developing industry in some respects is fairly small. I don't want to say immature, but it hasn't advanced to the point of a lot of other areas. And it's going to get that way because there's fantastic new consoles on the market, the Xbox 360 and some next generation consoles. So they're going to have to get smarter about their development process, which are also going to be very more expensive. And that's where we can help with the XNA initiative.
So you get were able to go to GDC. Was there anything else that you saw that was very interesting? Or
the size of the PS3 dev kit was pretty amazing. It was just enormous. But that was really about it. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of chance to stay there too long.
Okay. Yeah, I did see that blog that you had about them running Vista.
Yeah, it was XP. The strangest thing. There was the PS3, and then there was Vista on it. It was Windows XP. And all I did was take the picture. I said, I don't know what it is, but it sure looks like something to me.
Yeah, I brought a little bit of buzz to the GDC.
Yeah.
One of my other questions is, going back to the marketplace, will there be ways to get points? Because I know for right now you have to purchase points to actually get some. Is there going to be a way, like, for example, winning against somebody else would get you a point?
Where are the points going to come from? Because the points are basically money.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay. So if I beat you, are you going to pay me?
No. It was just one of those things I was wondering about was the idea of gamer scores and the points towards the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be purchase only.
Yeah, that's as of right now. We don't have any other plans.
Oh, okay. Will there be tournaments and stuff like that
where
you could win points?
Sure. I mean, that's possible. You'd have to ask some of our third party and publishers. We really built the framework for third parties and publishers and developers to plug in and do the great work that they do. Our job as a platform is to come up with the wonderful ways of developing and reaching the audience in new and exciting ways using technology. And that's what we're excited about. So, yeah, so they can absolutely do that.
Okay. Well, recently I heard some rumors that people have been hacking the Xbox 360and actually getting to be playing games that are backups and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What are some of the problems with doing that?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the hackers. All I know is that we take security very seriously, and that's all I can really say about that.
Yeah, I know that some of them – I know they're I think the president of the Xbox division was talking about how – that will bring not only is it's more of a problem between the players because then now people could hack them and do cheats and stuff like that. And so for the help of the Xbox Live and making sure that it's pure, that's the kind of thing.
We're very confident about keeping the ecosystem pure, and that's all I can say about that.
Okay. Well, what kind of challenges do you see in the coming years with the industry?
One of the main challenges, and this is what we talked about a little earlier, is keeping the cost of the games development down, but the quality up. That's inherent to any business that's growing like this. I mean, the business is as larger and sometimes larger than the motion picture industry. And those costs can be fairly well controlled with the talent aside. So really, it's how do we continue delivering and assist our publishers and development partners through like the XNA initiative to be efficient so they can spend more time being creative and creating wonderful games as opposed to reinventing the wheel every single title.
Why do you think that people have – do you think that's why most Xbox 360 games are now $60 instead of the regular $49.99 that
– Could be a reason. I mean, I'm so far downstream from the development process. I'm on the platform side. Right. So that's certainly one of the possibilities.
Okay. Now, I know that you are doing a podcast.
I do.
What's the website?
Sure. It's www.majornelson.com, which is, of course, my gamer tag.
Right. Do you think because of the podcast, you're becoming a spokesman for the Xbox 360?
I think by the fact that in some ways I am, but I don't work in the PR team. I work in the Xbox product group. Now, the PR team really has their own agenda, and my job is really to be as forthright and forthcoming with the gamers as I can be. And that sometimes that's challenging. I am a spokesperson in certain circles, but I don't perceive myself as a spokesperson. I just perceive myself as a guy who happens to work at one of the coolest products of the company.
Right. Oh, it's just interesting because usually you're the first one to actually, like, we'll hear press releases about things going on, but you're probably the first one from Microsoft to actually talk a little bit about what's going on and what's going with such as updates and demos
and
coming out.
And in fact, there's going to be an update going out within the next hour or two for a title. That I'm going to be one of the first people to be talking about.
Right. So that's I just find it. Do you think that other companies should be doing something like this?
Well, you know, you'd have to ask them, but I've always asked myself and scratched my head, why isn't Sony doing this? Why isn't Nintendo really having a wonderful dialogue with their customers? And you know what? The customers know that we can't do everything that they ask for. We can do our best, and hopefully people understand that we are listening. And it's not enough to say that you're listening. You actually have to listen and show it in certain ways. And I think we've done that time and time again with the Xbox team. A perfect example is one of the key areas that folks wanted to do is they wanted to bring some of the console experience onto Xbox.com. So last month we shipped an update to Xbox.com that allows people to manage their friends list on the web. You can add a friend, delete a friend. You can send a friend's request. You can do all this great stuff. And the web is very easy to develop for, and we've got a lot more things in store.
Okay. Well, even though we do talk to a lot of game developers, and this is a way to help our community college to learn more about becoming a game developer, mm-hmm. What do you think are some ways you can get into the game development or into the gaming industry?
You know, that's a million-dollar question. What you have to do is, if I were doing it all over again, I probably wouldn't change much, and here's why. I don't look at this as a job. I've said this very frequently. I look at this as it's a passion and fun and a career. I don't get up every morning and go, I got to go to work at 9, I have to leave at 5. So it's really about doing what you want to do and putting the passion behind it. The opportunities will fall in place in front of you if you're able to produce a wonderfully quality, if you're able to output quality stuff, whether it's a game, whether it's a design, and you're creative. But that's not enough. You have to be able to articulate that and understand it, almost to a certain degree, sell it a little bit. Be able to articulate what you're doing and understand how to communicate what you're trying to do.
Okay, so, and then you can pretty much put this towards people who are not even, how about people who are not even game developers or just going into the PR business?
Absolutely, that's another thing. I mean, you have to be able to come up with the creative ideas that can break through and make sense. I mean, I'm not degreed in PR, so I don't know that, but that's kind of what I do in my own PR that makes sense.
Okay. Well, my last question for you is, what things do we expect to see with Xbox Live in the near future?
Well, I talked a little bit about them. We're going to be revising and updating Xbox.com continuously and bringing more of what you've expected in the console onto the web. And then later on this year, we've got some cool updates that we're going to be pushing out live. And those are all free. You know, those are right over mm-hmm. Xbox Live. We've got this built-in infrastructure and delivery mechanism. So we'll be doing that as well.
Okay.
I think people will be very happy. And Xbox Live, I'm very excited about where we're going. And I look forward to the next 12 months, 2 years, 3 years in the future. It's going to be exciting. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, going to E3?
Oh, indeed. I'll be there. Are you?
they haven't put podcasters as press yet.
So. Oh, well, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there with Xbox.com, and I'll be podcasting it as well. So.
Oh, have fun. I'm going to try to do a podcast there, too, but a weekly podcast for everything that's going on.
It's going to be a big show. It's going to be exciting.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show again.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. Well, that's my interview with Major Nelson. It's really great to be able to talk to him and actually meet him in person instead of listening to his voice. But if you have any comments, suggestions, or if you'd like to have any trivia questions asked, you can visit our website at www.gameaddicthotline.com and click on the comment section, or you can email me directly at gameaddicthotline@gmail.com. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Yahoo Podcasts, you can become a friend with us at Podcast Pickle, or vote for us at Podcast Alley. Well, that's going to be it for today. I will see you guys Sunday with another edition of the Game Addict Hotline. Until then, turn your video games back up, and I will see you Sunday.